Hello, my name's Tom Rebeck and I'm Research Director here at Analysys Mason. I'm with another of our Research Directors, Rupert Wood. Rupert, you recently published a very interesting article on the investment by internet and industrial firms into China Unicom, and you explored what this could mean for 5G. Now, before we get on to China Unicom, let's talk about how you see the state of 5G. So you said there's a problem with 5G investment. So in the piece you wrote that privately few investors see a clear positive case for 5G. Can you explain more about this?
Yeah, 5G seems sort of inevitable, but also tremendously risky for operators. And I think this is reflected in operators' sort of ambivalence. You know, they send out, they know that being publicly negative sends out the wrong signals to the financial community, but privately they're unconvinced of the need yet. And 5G is clearly going to be very costly, and there is as yet no particularly clear and compelling business case. So, on the one hand, it's increasingly difficult to monetize consumer data. There's very little connection between traffic volume growth and revenue growth. And there's no particularly obvious demand for mobile gigabit access. So we tend to hear a lot about other special use cases involving third parties taking functional and logical slices of network resources in the 5G network to sell to other parties. But I think the business models are often unclear, and we have as yet, rather limited sense of the scale of the opportunity. So, and I think in the sense, operators appear to be bearing all the risk of 5G investment.
So do you think there's a 5G bubble building up?
You know, to get all Marxist for a minute, it looks like a crisis of overproduction where the supply side, that is, you know, the vendors, is compelled to produce ever more and ever more efficiently, you know, getting ever and lower unit costs for transport, ever higher capacity, more efficiency, more efficient service agility, without properly gauging willingness by the ultimate end users, to pay. And I think, you know, this tends to spawn overextended supply chains, rather over elaborate business models. And we saw this with the telecoms crash of 2001 very clearly. And I think even the banking crisis of 2008 shared these characteristics. So we may see more direct or indirect vendor financing artificially to create a market for 5G, you know, as if the problem was underconsumption rather than overproduction. And alongside all of this, and, you know, this is very obvious, that we see a massive ramp up of marketing and sort of what I might describe as advocacy research.
So then let's move on to China Unicom, because you see the restructuring of the Chinese operator, China Unicom, as a way forward. So can you explain briefly what's happened?
Yes, well, you know, to put it in context, Unicom is the smallest of the three main Chinese operators. I mean, they're all huge, but it's the smallest of the three. And it's been losing market share in mobile and FTTH to its main rivals, China Mobile and China Telecom. And it slashed its CapEx budget by over 65% since 2015, admittedly from very high levels. And last month, a consortium of businesses, of 14 businesses, added new equity, giving them a 35% stake in the operator. And these 14 companies included giant internet businesses like Baidu, Tencent and Alibaba, some of which already have MVNOs on the Unicom network. But it also includes players from other industry verticals, data center businesses, transport, a ride-hailing business, financial institutions, among others.
And what's in it for them? Why are these high growth internet companies and fast-growing technology companies, why are they investing in China Unicom, which is at best a low-growth business?
Well, you know, on the one hand, you know, this could be interpreted simply as a reform of state-owned enterprises to create a more vibrant, demand-driven businesses after years of a very, very supply-driven industry. And maybe there's a bit of arm-twisting going on for these companies to invest. But I think there's more to it than that. I think it's about internet companies, about industry verticals having much greater direct influence over the shaping of a future mobile networks, especially 5G networks. So, and they've said this, I mean, the proceeds raised by the new equity would, China Unicom has said, be used to, and I quote, enhance 4G capability, conduct 5G technical network trials and related business functions, build pre-commercial trial networks, and invest in innovative businesses. So it's basically all about future mobile and control of more direct control by perhaps some of the beneficiaries in the future mobile network.
And do you think this type of co-investment model could allay the fears around a 5G bubble?
Of course, it doesn't guarantee 5G will be a roaring success as opposed to a damp squib. But I think it's, and this is important, it's one of a number of important ways to de-risk investment in 5G from the operator's perspective. And I think, you know, this is critical in a time of uncertain demand signals that expensive investment should be de-risked as far as possible. And I think it's de-risking for two reasons. First, it's a consortium model, and that has good precedence in telecoms. You've seen that in the submarine cable business, and we now sometimes see it in FTTH investment. And second, and this is where it's perhaps a little bit different from those cable or FTTH examples, its potential users and beneficiaries are co-investors. And that really rather simplifies the supply chain. It becomes less complex. It's not B2B2X or B2B2B2X or whatever. It's more direct than that. And in this model, these internet businesses and verticals are not just waiting for an operator to shoulder the risk and then coming in renting slices of network resources. And I think, you know, if 5G networks are to prove genuinely commercially useful to verticals, then those verticals should be, you know, as it were, putting their money where their mouth is. It's a stamp of confidence.
And then do you think you'll see this model replicated elsewhere in the world?
Yes, I think so. I think investment in standalone mobile operators who are, I think, more exposed than fixed-line mobile integrated businesses as 5G approaches, maybe where this is most likely to happen in the future. But, you know, if we don't see it, if verticals don't invest in the physical 5G network, then I think ultimately we should be much more sceptical about the real value of 5G to those verticals.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Rupert. So we'll put a link to the original article in the notes for this podcast, or you can find it on the Analysis Mason website if you search for China Unicom.